38. Matthew 5, verse 38. It's Jesus speaking, and he says this: "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's pray once more. Father, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful word. Thank you that you point us to Jesus and you teach us how to live as followers of Jesus. Please, would you do that today for Jesus' sake? Amen. Amen. Here's a memory from my childhood. Do you remember these? Maybe if you didn't grow up in the UK, you might not know these. Who read these growing up? Who's still got some in their house? Okay, quite a lot of us. Mr. Men books, okay? If you're not familiar, the idea is that there are loads of these, and they each focus on a different Mr. or Mrs. character, and each of them has a different character. So, for example, this one is Mr. Cool. It must have been bought for me, I'm sure. But there's other ones like Mr. Strong, that could have been bought for me as well. Mr. Grumpy could have been bought for me. A Little Miss Sunshine, you get the idea. Each one is speaking about a particular character of these people. When we were growing up, we had a few of these books, but we didn't have this. That's right. Did anyone have one of these? David did. There you go. The complete collection, the complete set, the perfect collection. Nothing is missing. Now, in that last verse, verse 48, we are told to strive for perfection. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is perfect. His character is our standard. As children in God's royal family, we should look like our Father. Strive for perfection. But that word perfect, it means more than just not doing wrong stuff. It has this idea of being mature, complete, the finished article, like that collection of Mr. Men books. Nothing is missing. And so Jesus has been helping us to see what royal family life looks like. And he doesn't want us to be missing anything. He wants us to have the complete set, to be perfect, like God in every way. Charlotte helpfully explained how when she became a Christian, it affected the way that she lived. There was stuff she needed to stop, stuff she needed to start. She didn't share everything that she shared with me previously. She didn't used to buy tube tickets, and so she had to start buying tube tickets. She had a fake ID that had to be got rid of as well, and the other things that she mentioned earlier. Stuff she needed to stop, stuff she needed to start doing. Being in the royal family, there's a certain way of living. And so as we've worked our way through chapter 5, Jesus has been taking the books off the shelf, opening them up, and showing us how to be like God in different areas of life. The characteristics that should define us as Christians. So we started with Mrs. Distinctive, and next was Mr. Righteous, then Mrs. Radical, and last week we had Mr. Faithful. And today Jesus gets another book down from the shelf, and he's going to show us another characteristic which will help us reflect our Heavenly Father. This week is Mr. Love. Being like our Heavenly Father means living the love life. That's not surprising. God is love. But once again, Jesus takes this to a whole new level. He turbocharges the idea of love and brings up a whole new way of thinking. This isn't love in a vague, fuzzy kind of way. We're not going to end just by giving each other nice big hugs. This is love when things turn sour, not in the easy times, but when things are tough. So my encouragement to us this morning is this: don't be normal. Don't be normal. And that will come easier for some of us than others. But for all of us, we should not be normal. When relationships are bad, don't be normal. Here we go, the love life. When relationships are bad, go above and beyond what is normal. And we see that in two ways: our attitude and our action. So first, in our attitude. Take us there, Josh. This is not going to work. Okay, once again, Jesus starts with this Old Testament law. Look at verse 38. Look down at the text there, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. This was found in various places in the Old Testament, the first part of our Bible. And it was a key principle in Israelite life. It's fair. It's a one-for-one justice system. The punishment fits the crime. So if you cause harm to another person, there is a serious but fitting penalty. Now, by the time Jesus was speaking, most of the physical penalties had been replaced by financial ones, but the principle is the same. If I cause you damage, I owe you. And you can demand that you get some compensation, that I make it up to you. And so this is a law that discourages violence and encourages safe living. It's up to me to keep my body under control and my property in order, because if I hurt you, then that hurts me as well. It's a law that limits revenge and it prevents over-retaliation. And we see that, don't we, with gang crime here in London. It often comes in spates because it's all about revenge. So if your gang does something to my gang, then our gang is going to get you back, but worse. But then they're thinking exactly the same thing. And so it just goes on and it turns into a blood feud. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth means there is a limit to the damages that you can claim. I can't kill you just because you gave me a black eye. So this is a law about legal rights. If you were treated badly, you were entitled to compensation. You had a legal right to even the score. But we are sinful people. And it's easy to see how this simple justice system could turn sour. When I was at secondary school, I used to play football every lunchtime. I used to eat my lunch at break time so that I could play football at lunchtime. One time this boy called Tom, he took me out with a bad tackle. And so I went on a quest for justice. And so for the next few minutes I stood right behind him, just followed him around the pitch, just waiting for the ball to come anywhere even vaguely close so that I could hack him down and take him out. And I was going to get him good. But thankfully, Tyler, you shouldn't be laughing at that, man. That's from your own experience, isn't it? Thankfully, he saw what was happening by the fact that I was following him around the pitch. And he turned around and he managed to talk me out of it. But that was not justice. That was an ugly attitude. And Jesus introduces a radically different attitude. He says, don't be normal. Go above and beyond, even in the face of genuinely bad treatment. Bad treatment can come in all sorts of forms. It might be insults. Look at verse 39. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. In many cultures, including that one, a slap on the cheek is a sign of contempt. It's shameful. It's humiliating. It's insult more than injury. And we all know what it is to be insulted. It's horrible. Everything in us it just boils up and you just want to give the insult back or come up with a better one. But Jesus says, no, go above and beyond what's normal. Rather than eye for eye, insult for insult, instead, turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate. Don't be normal. Humbly endure bad treatment. Bad treatment might be that people take advantage of your stuff. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Go above and beyond. Rather than resisting, we should hold so loosely to our stuff that we're happy to give more than is asked for. Maybe people unfairly demand your time and energy. Verse 41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. The Romans were the guys in charge back then, and sometimes the soldiers would force civilians into service. They'd make them do their jobs. That wasn't fair. That was bad treatment. And so naturally, some people resisted. But Jesus said, don't be normal. In fact, go above and beyond. Don't just go 1 mile, go the extra mile. Humbly endure bad treatment. Maybe people treat you badly in the way that they ask you for money. Verse 42. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. He says, hold on to your purse loosely. Lend freely, even if you don't think you'll get it back. Don't be precious about your stuff. Don't be precious about your rights. It doesn't mean that you're a weak pushover. In fact, it takes strength to not always have to claim your rights. The strength of character to be gladly shortchanged. Not to demand everything that rightfully belongs to you. Now, of course, this is talking about attitudes, not absolutes. It's not saying that we should never stand up for our rights. So, for example, it is not saying that we should put up with domestic abuse and just deal with it. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that we should never enter into legal proceedings to protect our rights. So it was great news this week, wasn't it, to see the Ashes Baking Company had their rights upheld by the Supreme Court. And for the sake of freedom of speech, freedom of belief, it was well worth their time and energy. That was the right thing for them to do. And it was great to see the response afterwards from the man. He was very humble and very generous and very gentle. Praise God for that wonderful witness. It's not saying that we should just give money out to anyone who asks. But rather it's talking about an attitude which has a loose grip on our own stuff and our own rights, so that when we are treated badly, we're not always looking to even the score, like any normal person would. In fact, when we receive bad treatment as members of God's royal family, we'll actually respond with good treatment. A humble, selfless, generous attitude which goes above and beyond. I find that challenging. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's family members who've offended us and they haven't even said sorry. And so when they need your help, you make your excuses. Will you go above and beyond? Maybe we have friends who just take. They never give anything back. They don't even seem grateful. What have they ever done for me? Maybe I'll just leave it. They're not great. They need to learn to be grateful. Will you go above and beyond? Work colleagues, school friends, anyone else who have wronged us. They've done genuine wrong against us. And so we hold on to that grudge. And we're certainly not going to go out of our way to help them. Will you go above and beyond? Perhaps we know people who are a drain on our time and our energy. We wouldn't necessarily say that to their face, but it's true. They drain our time and our energy. They make unreasonable demands. And we could easily say, you're just asking too much. But Jesus says, go above and beyond. Humbly endure bad treatment. Even when you're getting a rough deal, go above and beyond for the good of others. And I have to say, I see this attitude a lot in lots of people here at Silver Street. People who go above and beyond when their kindness is presumed. Even when they go unthanked. Even when all they get in return is insult and abuse. People who spend their time, their money, spend of themselves for the sake of people who don't even like them. That's not normal. And I thank God that you're not normal. But let me use an illustration from another part of London. The Toogood family moved into Soho to plant a church. I'm not making that up. It's a terrible name for a pastor, isn't it? Pastor Toogood. But that's what they did. And they began knocking on doors with mixed results. One particular couple had no time for them at all. They completely brushed them off. They wanted nothing to do with them. It soon became obvious that the drunkard husband was abusing his wife. Now, one day, the Toogood family arrived back from holiday, and as they arrived back, there was this man, Wally. He'd obviously found out when they were returning. He was stood there for him. Wally stood up to greet us, smiling. "I need your help," he said. Pam, his wife, sensed this could be a long job and suggested we got the luggage down into the flat first. I rejoined Wally in the street. He had responded to an advertisement which offered an exchange, a rented three-bedroom house near Windsor for a one-bedroom flat in central London. Everyone had agreed the swap, a date had been fixed, and today was the day for Wally to move out and to move into the new home. Where did I fit in, I wondered. Wally had sorted his furniture, hired a van, but had no money to pay for it. He was also banned from driving for drink driving. Would I step up to the plate for both of these and lend a hand with the lifting and carrying at both ends? Given the circumstances, what could I do? The woman intending to swap with Wally and Eileen was waiting to move in as we spoke. With the cash paid, the van hired and loaded, we travelled to Windsor. The van was unloaded, driven back to London, returned to the hire company. I arrived at 11:30 p.m. My wife was asleep, but if she'd been awake, she may have had a few choice words to say to me. Just one of many examples in this remarkable story of going above and beyond. That's not weakness. That's not being walked over. That takes great strength of character to humbly endure bad treatment and not to just not respond, but to respond with good. I wonder what I would have done in that situation. This is what royal family life looks like, because this is what Jesus looks like. Our Lord Jesus, who was betrayed by an evil person and yet did not resist his arrest. In fact, when Peter resisted, he got told off. And Jesus went above and beyond to heal the injury that Peter had caused. This Jesus, who in Matthew 26 is spat on and cursed and insulted and slapped on the cheek, the same word that's used here. And yet he did not retaliate. With one strike of his hand or one word from his lips, the insults would be silenced, the beating would stop, and yet he did not open his mouth. Our Lord Jesus, who was stripped not only of his coat, but also of his shirt as well, left naked, hung humiliated for all to see. Our Lord Jesus, who was forced into service by the cruel Roman soldiers, compelled to walk that painful mile as he carried the cross up the hill. But his love went further still. He went above and beyond. Not only did he not destroy his enemies right there and then, instead he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Going above and beyond starts with this humble attitude which endures bad treatment rather than looking for payback. So that's the kind of reactive response when people do bad stuff to us. But there's a more proactive side to it as well. So second thing, go above and beyond in action as well as attitude. Thank you, Josh. Verse 43, in action. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbour and hate your enemy.'" This is another key principle in Old Testament law. Later on, when someone asks Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" he gives them two answers. He says, first, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And second, "Love your neighbour as yourself." He says that is kind of a summary of what the whole Old Testament is all about. Love in the Bible is a commitment to seek the good of others. So God's command is, seek the good of those who are around you, your neighbours. That second part there about hating your enemy You won't find that in the Old Testament. That's not there. But you can understand the logic. If I'm supposed to particularly love and seek the good of the people who are close to me, the people who are like me, then I don't need to have that same kind of love for the people who are against me. That's pretty normal. But Jesus, he presses the turbo charger. He says, well, let's go above and beyond. Verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What's going on there? Seek the good of your enemies. Seek their good as you pray for them. Actively love, not just good people, but bad people. Not just those who love you, those who hate you, those who are nice to you and those who want to do you harm, those who've got your back and those who want to stab you in the back. Love your enemy is not a normal idea. In fact, someone who's here this morning who I was talking to this week, and he said to me, if one of my enemies came up and just wanted to give me a hug, that would make me want to start a fight. That's not a normal attitude. What are you doing? Get away. But here's the reason. Verse 45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. Do you see? This is what God is like, and we should share the family likeness. Verse 45, second half. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We need sun, we need rain for food to grow. And God generously gives them to both evil and good, righteous and unrighteous. It's called common grace. God gives good gifts to all people, including genuinely bad people. Murderers, militants, and monks can all go to Asda. We all breathe the same air. So this is what God is like. He is someone who shows love and undeserved kindness to bad people. He seeks the good of those who are dead set against him. While we were enemies of God's, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because God loves his enemies can be made friends. That's what's happened to Charlotte. One of her questions, she told me before, one of her questions as she began to think about Christianity and discover these claims at the age of 15, was, aren't people basically good? People are basically good. But she came to realize that actually she was an enemy of God and she needed his undeserved love. She told us that she began to believe that Jesus was a real person and that he was a really good person and that he died a horrible death for the sake of other people, for the good of others. That's love. Gradually, she realized that this was actually good news. She came to realize that that's not the end of the story. That one day Jesus, 3 days later, Jesus rose again. He ascended to heaven and one day he's going to return. And so today, Charlotte is getting baptized, not because she is good, but because she was an enemy and is now a friend. Maybe there's some of us this morning who are still enemies of God. You're not trusting Jesus like Charlotte is trusting Jesus. The good news is, God loves his enemies. He doesn't want you to stay an enemy. And as you come trusting Jesus, he won't treat you as an enemy. He'll welcome you as a friend, as a child. God loves bad people. And as his royal family, so should we. Go above and beyond what is normal. Look at verse 46. Are you still with me? Verse 46, it's down there in the text. Your eyes should be there. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Tax collectors were the notorious sinners. Pagans are people who have no regard for God. So even sinners and unbelievers love people who love them. That's not hard. That's normal. That doesn't set you apart. But Jesus says, you should be doing more than normal. Go above and beyond. And if we're going to be distinctive, if we're going to live the royal family life, our love must extend beyond our natural circle of friends, to those who are not like us, even as far as our enemies, people who want to do you harm. I wonder what that is for you. Maybe someone at school who's bullying you, a spiteful family member, a work colleague who's got it in for you, a neighbour who's making your life uncomfortable, whatever it is. Sometimes relationships turn sour. People seem to be against us. And it would be very normal to have a bitter heart, to give them a taste of their own medicine, to look out for ways to get them back, to enjoy it when they get in trouble. It would be normal to speak badly about them or complain about them or just to avoid them. But Jesus says you're not supposed to be normal. Go above and beyond. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Can I ask you, the person in your mind who counts as one of your enemies, someone who's against you in some way, do you pray for them? I don't mean, you know, Lord, please would you smite them from the earth. That doesn't quite count. And not even, you know, Lord, please help me to deal with this difficult situation. That's a good thing to pray. But do you pray for them? Do you pray for their goods? Lord, please would you have mercy on this person? Lord, please would you bless this person? It's remarkable what a difference it makes in a difficult relationship when you start praying for that person each day. And as well as praying, do you actively seek the good of those people? Are you generous and forgiving and kind to those who do you harm? What will it look like for you to extend your hand and open your arms to those who might be your enemies? That's not normal. That's different. That's above and beyond. So when Jesus took Mr. Love off the shelf and he opened up the book to show us what it looks like to be like God, probably not what we were expecting. But Jesus isn't asking us to do something that he hasn't already done. This radical, difficult kind of love is a biography of his own life. And so he closes the book and he puts it back on the shelf. Another part of that perfect collection. Another example of what it means to look like God. Don't be normal. There's nothing normal about being part of God's royal family, because there's nothing normal about God. When relationships are bad, will you go above and beyond? Let's have a moment just to reflect in quiet, and then I will pray. Father, we praise you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the expression of his love at the cross, where he died in the place of his enemies, so that sinners like us can be called friends, so that we could be welcomed into your royal family. Father, please would you help us, as those who are trusting this Jesus, to live like Jesus. We confess that often it is so hard when relationships are bad, when people have genuinely wronged us and hurt us, whether it be insults, or whether it be an abuse of our time or energy and money and stuff, whether it be something that happened once or something that's long term. Please would you give us a heart like Jesus to work through those things, to have open arms, to be forgiving and welcoming and kind, to go above and beyond so that we might show people the love of Christ in the way that we respond. Lord, help us to know exactly how this applies out to various situations that might be represented here today. Please give us wisdom. And please, Father, would we reflect more and more of your perfect character. for Jesus' sake. Amen.